I'm just ignorant. I ain't crazy, I'm just ignorant.
Stop, bro. I got you. I'm gonna let you say what you gotta say. But first, you gotta let me introduce the podcast. Man, God and them ain't worried about that, man. You already showed us that God and them they ain't really fucking with you right now. So let me introduce the podcast, and I'll get back with you. Okay. All right. What up, people? We are back. Episode 4 of the Unusual Thoughts Podcast with your host, Boogie. Back, man. I want to thank you guys for tuning in, lending me your ear to hear me, help me get out some of these thoughts. I want to thank any and everybody that listened to the last episode and gave me feedback on it. Truly, truly, truly appreciate it. And I want to let anybody know that if you have any comments about the show, any suggestions about the show, any love that you want to show to me, please reach out to me at PrisonerOfWar10 on Instagram and Twitter. You can find me there, and I promise you, anything you say to me, I promise you, I'll be sure to return the love. And this week, we're not going to play any songs because the song that I wanted to play didn't load for me, so I'm not going to play it. But hopefully, I can get that worked out, and I can play it for you guys next week. But right now, man, like I said, we're going to get back into episode 4. And we have some things to discuss. We have a few things to to talk about. The so-called fighter that's representing the hood, that's putting it on God and them. We got to talk about his performance. We got to talk about Chris Brown and his allegations. We got some things to discuss. The NBA has announced its starters for the All-Star game. It's some things to discuss this week, man. But before I get into any of that, I have to give you guys my unusual thought of the week. And my unusual thought for this week is believe in yourself. In other words, I just want you to bet on yourself. Now, man, listen to me, man. Ain't nothing like betting on yourself and finding that belief in yourself that you and you alone determines how your day goes or even how your future goes. Because I'm going to tell you the truth, man. There ain't nothing more satisfying than finding that belief in yourself and then pushing through whatever adversity that you may encounter on the road to doing whatever you want to do with yourself. Now, the reason I want you to believe in yourself, because we are all in this world right now. We're trying to figure this thing out. We're trying to be successful, but not only do we want to be successful, we want to be happy with our success. So it's a balance that we're all trying to find. So I'd say bet on yourself, because that's the best chance that you got. And I just want to give you guys a quick story about a time that I bet on myself, and I feel like it worked out in my favor. So when I was around 18, 19 years old, getting ready to graduate high school, and of course you graduate high school, you're trying to make a decision on what college you're going to go to. Lucky for me, I had a couple of full-ride basketball scholarships that I could choose from. I had Middle Tennessee State, University of Tennessee, Knoxville, Western Kentucky University. Ole Miss had offered me a scholarship, and I took a visit to Ole Miss. I did not take a visit to Western Kentucky. I took a visit to Middle Tennessee State University, and I also took a visit to University of Tennessee, Knoxville. So the first visit I took was to Ole Miss. Didn't really like it at the time, so I was like, okay, they're out. Western Kentucky was out because I didn't really like the coach. Man, the coach didn't vibe too much. So my last two schools were Middle Tennessee State University, University of Tennessee. MTSU was my first choice because I knew Coach Davis at the time. He met me when I was a freshman in high school. I met him when I was a freshman, so I've been knowing him for the longest. And he just made me comfortable. And the coach that recruited me name was Coach Woodley. Just got very, very comfortable with him. Come to my house, talk to my mom, talk to everybody in my family. And I was excited about the opportunity to go play Division I college basketball. So my senior year, the University of Tennessee came into the picture. I had a great summer of AAU basketball. We made it. We won a national championship one year. The next year, we lost in the championship to some guys that are actually still playing in the league right now. But I had a great summer, so the University of Tennessee came into the picture. And instantly, everybody around me, family members, uncle, more importantly, my uncle, who is who is like, he is the father that he is the guy that pretty much raised me, my uncle, my mom's older brother. When he saw the University of Tennessee offer me, he instantly, man, Tennessee, forget every school, every other school, because Tennessee, SEC, they be on TV all the time. You got to go to Tennessee. Man, Middle Tennessee don't ever be on school. Man, forget that school. And I'm like, hey, man, these two great universities, both of them are great academically. Not that I cared about that. But both are great schools, what I was trying to explain to him. But I'm like, but after going on visits and I look at style of play and I'm looking at different things around the program, and I can remember coming back home from after finishing up my visits, I can remember coming back home and I told my best friend, like, bro, I think I want to go to MTSU. He was like, why? And I'm like, I said, bro, I'm going to play more. I said, don't get me wrong. I said, I know I could play at any level, but I was like at University of Tennessee. They had so many of the same caliber of player. It was me, J.P. Prince, Dane Bradshaw, Duke Cruz, Wayne Chisholm was coming. It was a white guy from Wisconsin that played there. And I was like, bro, it's a lot of us, Tyler Smith. It was a lot of us that pretty much did the exact same thing. We were about the same size. We all were athletic, long, could run, all those things. And I'm like, and their style of play, they was just running gun. I said, if I go there, I'll play 15 to 20 minutes. And I'll have some highlights, and I'll play, and I'll be look good, but I won't play a lot because it's just too much talent there for everybody to be seen. So, and I said, on the flip side of that, go to MTSU, I'm going to play 30, 35 minutes a game. He was like, ugh. I was like, bro, but I don't know. And I was like, man, it's just a feeling that I had personally. Everybody around me, and my best friend was just like, bro, the only thing he said to me, he was like, well, Coach Davis is a good coach. If this is what you feel like you want to do, then go do it. And I was like, bro, I think that's what I'm going to do. So I had my scholarship papers from the University of Tennessee and MTSU. And back home, we have a athletic banquet at the end of the year. And it's for all the athletic sports to come. And they give out, like, the athlete of the year, all these different things. And I won athlete of the year that year. But I remember, but at the banquet, that's where most people that have scholarships, that's where they sign their scholarship papers at. So that night, that whole day, I can remember getting ready to go. And like I said, everybody around me thought I was just going to automatically choose the University of Tennessee. And I can remember getting everything ready, and I grabbed the MTSU papers, and nobody knew. My mom didn't know. My uncle didn't know. Nobody knew who I was going to sign with. And I grabbed the papers, and the only paper I had was the MTSU papers, because in my heart, that's the only place that I wanted to go. So when I got there and I signed with MTSU, and I can remember the next day, my uncle was pissed at me. He was like, that was stupid. You don't know what you just did. You're going to throw away your shot to make it to the league and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, well, uncle, I'm going to tell you the truth. You're not going to be in Knoxville. It's going to be me. And I might be miserable up there, and you still going to be at home comfortable. So I made the best decision what I felt like I wanted to do. And that's why I chose MTSU. So push come to shove, man, I went to MTSU. And I can remember, like I said, after I signed, I told my best friend. I told him again, like, been my best friend for over 20 years. I told him, I said, look, bro. I said, look, if I do what I'm supposed to do, they'll find me. If I go handle my business, they'll find me. And, man, lo and behold, man, by the end of my sophomore year, man, end of my sophomore year going into my junior year, man, I had every NBA coach, every NBA scout, man, calling my coach, calling people to come and see me. They was coming to see me work out on Saturday mornings out the blue. And I was just like, I did my job. I bet on myself, and it got me the recognition that I was looking for. And not only did it, NBA scouts came to look at me, man, I became the all-time lead scorer in my school history. That university loved me. I love the people of that university, and it's nothing that I can't go back to MTSU and I can't do. Because of the relationships I built there, I met some people that will literally be friends and family for life at their university. And that decision that I made to go to MTSU, above what everybody else said, when I bet on myself, it gave me everything I was looking for. So I want to tell you guys, man, look, no matter what other people say, believe in yourself. And let me tell you this, just because you believe in yourself don't mean that you won't fail. You're going to fail sometime, and that's okay. Keep pushing. Keep pushing. That just because you fail don't mean that it's the end. It's not going to be perfect. It's not going to be pretty all the time. But that belief in yourself is what's going to keep you driving. Understand this process that you're going to go through believing in yourself and betting on yourself. And it's going to be some rocky road, but I promise you, when you get to the other side of that rocky road, man, everything that you look and everything that you're looking for or seeking is going to be there for you. So, again, bet on yourself. Now, let me tell you this. When you bet on yourself, you got to have some logical sense, because sometimes you bet on yourself like Adrian Bronner and you end up kind of regretting it. Because this fool went into a boxing match on God and them. I'm doing it for the hood and this AB. He got all these saying that he can do whatever. And at this point, man, AB must stand for ass beat, ass getting beat, ass whooping, however you want to say it. It was not pretty. I mean, he went in that ring on Saturday night, and to be quite frank with you guys, he laid an egg. He just went out there and like he just literally forgot how to fight. In a 12-round fight for his side, I think he 147 weight class, he landed 58 punches. Man, listen, that's almost impossible. To land 58 punches. And Manny Pacquiao is not, his hand moving not that good for you to only land 58 punches. So that lets you know that you just weren't throwing your hands. You were waiting on something that wasn't there, and you played, you fought scared, you fought timid, and you end up losing that fight. And you end up losing that fight pretty convincingly. I ain't gonna say pretty convincingly. You absolutely lost that fight. And then for you to, after the fight is over, for you to sit there and threaten an old man, I guess that made you feel like the tough guy. Yeah, I threatened that nigga. He ain't shit. Yeah, I'll be 7-0 against you. That don't make you tough, my nigga. Actually makes you look like the clown that you are. You're a clown. What's the point of threatening him when you just got your ass beat by this little Filipino? But now you're the tough guy because you threatened the old man. Man, you a clown. And I continue to say it as much as possible. You are a complete clown. And you talk about you doing it for the hood and on God and them in the hood. Let me tell you something. One thing I know, I ain't gonna sit up and act like I'm the hoodest nigga around, because I'm not. But I know a lot of hood niggas that can fight. And you went in there and didn't even do that. That's what you did. You went in there and didn't fight. You just went in there and said, I'm just gonna take this L and go home. Man, you a clown for that, bro. And I never... That's just... Man, look, you represent... Look, the way you was representing yourself in the pre-fight, post-fight, the way you talk, and you want to say you represent the hood, man, I'm pretty sure the hood don't want you to represent them. Because the way you act, we'll pass. We'll pass on that, bro. We will pass on you trying to represent the hood, because it's, you represent yourself horribly. Like, it's one thing for you to go in there and lose a fight, but the way that you did, and then, like I said, the way you handled yourself and the way you carried yourself in the ring and out the ring, you just was acting ignorant outside of the ring. And I'm not calling you ignorant, but that's how you portray yourself. That's how you act. Like, that's how you were acting. And let me say this. Like, if that's what you think the hood want to be portrayed as, I'm pretty sure that we don't want that. We don't want to be portrayed as ignorant people. We don't want to be portrayed as blind. We don't want to lie to ourselves. So keep the hood out of it. Represent your damn self. Represent you. Represent AB, the clown that you are. And I can remember telling my fraternity brother, man, Big Chris, I can remember telling him that, man, if AB go in there and handle his business, he can win the fight by knocking Manny Pacquiao out. But if he let it go the distance, Manny Pacquiao going to win. That first part, I feel like it was true, because leading up to the fight, I watched the Showtime 24/7. I watched those, and he looked good. This is the best, like, as far as being in shape, this is the best Adrian Bronner has looked in maybe the last four or five years. He looked great. Just his preparation didn't carry over to the fight. His game plan was wrong, whatever the case may be. He blamed it on everybody. He blamed it on the people talking about they wanted him and Manny Pacquiao. I mean, they want him and Floyd Mayweather to fight again. Man, Floyd ain't had nothing to do with you going in there getting your ass whooped. Floyd went over there and fought this a nigga that was 13. Floyd is out of shape. He is not worried about fighting Manny Pacquiao right now. So you blame everybody except you. And then in the post-fight, you get on there talking about when they want to put their cheese on their burger. What the fuck are you talking about, G? Like, what are you talking about right now? Once again, you sound ignorant. So for you to try to say that you represent somebody else, man, don't put that on nobody else. You represent your damn self with that bullshit that you went out there and you did. That's just represent you. We're not going to take blame for your foolishness, for the way you went in there and performed, which was terrible, to the way that you carried yourself before and after the fight is atrocious. Blame you, take responsibility for you going in there and not handling your business. Now, go back to the drawing board. Figure this shit out, man. What you need to do, what you don't need to do, figure it out. But leave everybody else out of it. Just do me that favor, and I'll be happy with you. Because you look like a complete fucking clown. Like you need to put on a red nose and wear a size 15 shoe right now. Because that's how you look. You look like a clown. And this is pretty much, that's all I got to say about Adrian Bronner, a.k.a. ass beat, a.k.a. always about bullshit. Oh, whatever you want to call him. Like, he is a joke to me. In other news, man, something on a more serious note. Something came up. It disturbed me. It's a video that popped up online, and it really, really disturbed me because I have sisters. I have one little sister that's my blood sister, and I also have fraternity. That I have other women that I call my sisters and I call friends and things of that nature. And this video just rubbed me the wrong way. And the lady in the video name was Jasmine Elin. And she looked as if she was drugged by a guy that bought her a drink in the club. And in the video, it disturbed me because in the video, you can hear her saying, "Don't do me like this. Somebody help me. Please, somebody help me." And it disturbed me because she was in a club. And I'm not saying that everybody was sitting there watching her, but I'm sure somebody, I ain't even going to say I'm sure. I'm just going to say I will assume that somebody else noticed this woman and this man standing right behind her. I'm not sure if she knew the man or if they met in the club that night, whatever the case may be. But she did, the way she was speaking didn't sound comfortable. It made me feel uncomfortable. And it was a piece of the video, at the end of the video came that I watched. You couldn't see her face, but you could just hear her talking like, "Please don't do me like this. Please don't." And you can hear the dude saying, okay, baby. Okay, hold up, chill out, baby. But I would just say, man, like, if this guy took advantage of this woman, drugged her dream, man, please, I hope that somebody find this man and he is prosecuted as best, like, to the highest degree, because that's just not right. And the reason that it's not right, because it's just not right. Like, it's stories like that make me get so upset about women that do things like the woman did to Chris Brown in France, wherever he was. That's what upsets me about those situations, because you're going to sit up here and lie on somebody when this actually happens on a regular basis to women that are harmed and that are taken advantage of, that are all these different things, but you're just going to lie just to get some type of attention. And it's not right. And I think that's why, for me, a lot of times, I don't, when I see a headline about something, I don't automatically jump on it. I don't automatically be like, oh my God, he's wrong and he a piece of shit and take his ass to jail, because you never, I hear every woman that comes out with allegations. If you come out with an allegation, I will of course hear you. But I want this thing to play out. Because any woman that can accuse a man of something, and you mean to tell me that, hey, I didn't feel comfortable going to the police, but I'm going to do an interview about it. I'm not going to believe you. I'm sorry. Now, if it comes back out, if I do some research and it comes back out that you were telling the truth, my thing is, if you're going to go to a news, to Instagram or anything like that to try to out the person, but you don't file any charges on the man or whomever harmed you, I'm going to find it hard to believe you. Because the excuse in the past was, I didn't feel like I was going to be protected, so that's why I didn't tell anybody. Or I felt embarrassed, or it's a lot of different things that they were saying. I'm like, okay, I understand that. And I feel sorry for your pain. But if you can't go to the police because you're embarrassed or you're scared, but you're going to go to social media, now you're going to open this up to millions of people to throw their opinion in there and throw their two cents and do and pick holes in your story. Or so how do you feel comfortable going to social media for protection or to not feel ashamed, but not the police? So you don't want to file charges, but you want to do interviews. So if I find it hard to believe it. But in this situation with Chris Brown, you guys, she told the police, she did her due diligence in telling the police, but the police instantly released Chris Brown. It was like, we just don't find any truth in her story. And I saw different people coming out and bashing Chris Brown just because of a headline. Like Eve went on that show and just pretty much bashed him. And then afterwards, tried to recant her story and say, hey, no, that wasn't about Chris Brown. It was just about the movement. Well, it may have been about, I clearly think that she was talking about Chris Brown, because she was like, I hope he gets help. He needs to grow up. So you're clearly talking about Chris Brown. So you can't do stuff like that. You're talking out both sides of your mouth saying, no, it wasn't about Chris Brown, but he needs to get some help. Before you jump out the window and you want to bash people, just make sure. And I urge any and everybody to do this. Before you just jump out the window, just have more than a headline. That's all I ask. Like, have more than one headline and be like, oh, yeah, he guilty. Or she guilty. Or that person ain't shit. Just have more than this, than a simple headline. So I really, really feel for Chris Brown. And I think he's doing the right thing by suing this woman for defamation. And any man should do that. If they falsely accuse you, sue their ass. You make them pay, because when you do stuff like that, you mess with men, you mess with people's livelihood, and you take people's careers away, and they've done nothing to you, but you just want to do something to gain some attention or some notoriety, and I just don't think it's fair. So I applaud Chris Brown for suing this woman, and I hope he get her for every dime that she do or don't got. I damn sure do. So sue the shit out of her, Chris. Please sue the shit out of her. So hopefully you get this done so other people won't come out and just do things like that, because it takes away from people and women that have actually been harmed by men. So that's why I feel so passionate about that, because you take away from people that's actually been harmed by men. Okay, to move on from that topic, which sucks. I guess I want to talk about Spotify came out with something new. Again, you can find my podcast on Spotify. Just type in my name. I appreciate it. But Spotify came out with a new feature on their app. It's the mute app, which I don't really listen to a lot of music on Spotify, but I know a lot of people that do. And the funniest part about it is that they did it, and then they came out of it. Well, someone came out. They said that the report that I read said that Spotify came out with a report and said that Nicki Minaj is the most muted artist on the entire platform, which I thought was absolutely hilarious. I've never been a fan of Nicki Minaj's music. I've never listened to an entire album of hers. And I just don't care to. It's just some music I just do not care to hear. And not saying that she's a bad artist or anything like that. But it's just something that her music just doesn't resonate with me. And it's funny because I was talking to someone and I was like, man, Cardi B make good music, man. It's funny. I haven't listened to Cardi B's entire album, but it is the music that I hear, the songs that I hear, I vibe to them. Like Money, that video is amazing to me. I love that video. But, oh, to talk about videos, that video that she did with City Girls, it's the new version. Well, I ain't even going to say the new version. I think that video is better than Back That Ass Up video. That video is absolutely amazing. Like, Cardi B and the City Girl or the City Girls, whatever their name is, I don't know neither one of them. That video and all the women, all those beautiful brown-skinned women in that video, it was absolutely amazing. So, shout out to Cardi B. Well, shout out to the City Girl because it's their song. Shout out to the City Girls and Cardi B for their video. But I hope Nicki Minaj, as good as a rapper that they say she is, I hope that she focuses on her music this year. Because for her to be the most muted artist on Spotify, it surprised me. That truly did surprise the hell out of me. It truly did. But I hope that she can just focus on the music. All the other shit is pointless. Just focus on your music, and I think that you can get better because on features I've heard you on, you're a great rapper. So just focus on the music, and all the rest of the shit just kick it to the side. So Spotify, everybody go check me out on Spotify or wherever you can check me out on. I appreciate that. So to jump from that, we're going to go into the sports world. Oh, first and foremost, for all you haters and all you naysayers, the legendary, the GOAT himself, Tom Brady, is back in the Super Bowl. My predictions were right. The Rams went out there and won, even if it was a controversial call. It was a controversial call. I ain't even going to say even if it was. It's definitely a controversial call. But, hey, they won the game. And throughout history, it's not the first time. Everybody says it's the most blatant. Hey, man, it ain't the first time it happened, so it ain't going to be the last. So, congratulations to the Rams for making it to Super Bowl 53. And my Patriots went to Kansas City and did exactly what I said they were going to do. We're going to find a way to win the game. And that's all I wanted. We're going to find a way to win. That game was hard fought. It was a good game. We didn't keep them under 26 points, which I am mad about. They got 31. But we ended up winning the games, and that's all that matters. Tom Brady called on his greatness once again, and he pulled through, made every play that we needed to make. We made it. From Hogan making a big catch to Edelman making big catches to Tom Brady putting the ball right on the money on the third down situation. Great all-around game by my boys. And we're going to go out there and we're headed to ATL for Super Bowl 53. So all you naysayers, put it in the back of your mind. Just get it out your mind. Just put it like this. I'm going to just end this argument for all y'all. My quarterback has as many Super Bowl appearances as your whole organization. Just to end it all. My quarterback has more or just as many Super Bowl appearances as your entire organization. And you want to say he's not the GOAT. Man, kill yourself. You're a hater. And it's mainly for Pittsburgh fans and you suck-ass Cowboy fans. All y'all can go suck it because we're back in the Super Bowl. And we're going for number six. We should have got number six last year, but it snuck away. We're going for number six this year. In other football news, Cam Newton had shoulder surgery today. And I mentioned it on the podcast before. I hope Cam Newton is. They say it's a minor surgery, but I hope he comes back healthy. I hope he doesn't come back until he's completely healthy. I want to see Cam Newton healthy because when he's healthy, he's exciting. He's very exciting. I love to watch him play. So I want to see him healthy before anything. So Cam Newton, speedy recovery to you. Hope you come back bigger, better than ever. So to switch from football, we're going to go over to basketball, to the NBA. The NBA has announced its all-star starters. Of course, we have LeBron James was the leading vote getter in the entire thing. So he'll be the captain for the West. Out East, Giannis Antetokounmpo was the leading vote getter in the East, and he'll be the captain for the East. Now, the other starters in the West, you have LeBron James, you have Steph Curry, you have Kevin Durant, Paul George, James Harden, which I think is it's correct. Those five guys have been very, very great this year. And in the East, you have Giannis Antetokounmpo, Joel Embiid, Kyrie Irving, Kawhi Leonard, Kemba Walker, which I think they are deserving to accept. I don't really know how I feel about Kawhi because he sits out so many games now. So I think he's set out, I think it's 40-some games in. I think he has set out 14 or 15. And it's not because of he's hurt. It's just because I just want to sit out. I want to rest. So I feel like they should put somebody else in that spot, but I'm not mad at that either. So we have these five guys, and the rest of the roster for the All-Star game will be released, I think, this upcoming Thursday. And I think they'll do it on TNT, which they always do on Inside the NBA with Shaq, Ernie, Kenny, and Charles Barkley. I think they'll release it then. But Paul George, man, he has been on a tear. He has been on an absolute tear this year. The best basketball I've honestly seen him play. Like on both sides of the ball. Like from his scoring, from his efficiency, defense. He leads the league in steals. He's active, leads the league in deflections. He's just been absolutely amazing. Like on all levels of the court on both sides of the ball. He's just been amazing. And it's cool to see Westbrook not take a back seat, but understand what Paul George can be for that team and giving him the opportunity to do it instead of just trying to control the ball for the entire shot clock. So I've enjoyed watching Paul George and the Oklahoma City Thunder play this year. Of course, Steph and KD, they're just Steph and KD, man. They do what they do. Both great at what they do, and again, Kevin Durant is my favorite player in the NBA right now because of the countless number of ways that he can score the basketball. Like when I played, I was a scorer, so I just like natural scorers of the basketball, and he can score from literally anywhere on the court. So they've been great this entire season. LeBron has been out since Christmas. He's missed the last 15 games, and it's showing in the Lakers' play. They're 5-10 over the last 15 games. The way LeBron teams are built, he makes it kind of hard for the teams to operate without him. I've told people, like, I think that on a LeBron team, you got to have two different offenses. You got to have an offense where he's on the court because he's going to dominate the basketball because he's not good off the ball. So you got to have that offense, but you also got to have an offense to where he's not even on the court or he's not playing at all. So you have to have two different sets. But you got to just have two different mentalities for when he's on and off the floor. So they was like, well, it's too much. Like, man, basketball players and athletes on a regular basis, man, you can deal with it. You just have to be willing to put the time in to deal with it. James Harden is the last starter for the West. And he put up 61 in the Garden the other night. And like I told y'all last week, it is not impressive to me. When you can handle the ball, when you can hold and handle the ball that much, the numbers don't surprise me. When he's literally pounding the ball for 20 seconds every time the Rockets have the ball. So it's just not, you're going to get a bucket or you're going to pass the ball. So, man, salute to what he's doing, but like, it's not fun to watch. And on top of that, if I play with him, it'll be hard for me to play with him. I know he could give me open shots, but you're just standing. And I can appreciate your skill level at doing what you do to get to the rim when you want to get the shot that you want, to create the space that you want. But come on, man. Like, this is it's tough to watch. And the numbers don't impress me because you're literally just holding the ball for the entire shot clock. So, well, salute to you, though. Out East, you got Giannis. He's just been a beast all year long, man. He's been a beast. He's working on his jump shot more and more. So he's stepping out and actually taking jump shots now, which I tell people all the time, it ain't about you always making them, but at least I see that he's working on his jump shot and he's willing to take a jump shot now, which is just, hey, man, if he ever get a jump shot, and it ain't got to be a three-point shot. It could be a mid-range shot, 15 to 17 feet. He's going to be scary. He's going to be absolutely scary. Nobody's going to want to see him because he does everything inside of 2 feet. So you're not going to want to see him if he develops a solid jump shot. From there, you got Joel Embiid, which is my favorite center in the league by far right now because he plays angry. He plays mean. He plays with as nice of a guy as he is off the court. When he gets on the court, he doesn't like you. And he plays like it. And I can appreciate it because it reminds me of the 90s, of the Patrick Ewings and those guys, like all nice guys. But, hey, man, we're on the court. We're going to compete. And after the game, I'm going to shake your hand and we're going to see you next time we play. So I enjoy. And on top of that, he's playing back-to-backs. He's playing a lot. So getting a lot more chance to see him. So he's been absolutely great. And from him, you got Kyrie again. Kyrie is Kyrie, best ball handler in the league. The best guard finisher in the league. Might be the best finisher in the league, period. Because he can finish at any angle, with any hand, over defenders, however you want to do it. Like, he finished. His layup package is absolutely ridiculous. His floater package is ridiculous. So Kyrie is no shot that he can't attempt and make. So Kyrie is well deserving of that spot. Like I told you earlier about Kawhi, fan of Kawhi, great defensive, great, got tons better offensively. He just has been sitting out a lot. So I'm not a huge fan of him starting. I wouldn't mind if he was an all-star, just not a big fan of him starting because he hasn't played a lot. Like, he pretty much plays when he wants to. So I'm not a big fan of that. And Kemba Walker, man, the all-star game is in Charlotte this year, so it's fitting for him to be a starter. And Kemba Walker is playing his ass off this year. Averaging 25 a game, he's playing his ass off. So I'm not mad at Kemba Walker. And the NBA is fun for me right now. The NBA is extremely fun, and I will forever be a bigger fan of NBA basketball than any other basketball out there because, once again, I like watching the best players in the world be great, and these are 10 of the best players in the world, hands down. So I'm excited about the All-Star game. I want to know. I know LeBron is going to get the first pick, and I'm pretty sure he's going to pick Kevin Durant, and if he don't, he'll be stupid not to pick Kevin Durant because Kevin Durant is just an absolute. He's just unstoppable at what he does. So, but I think it's going to be televised, and I'm just excited to see how the teams play out. Instead of it being East and West, I'm just excited how the teams will play out. So, we'll be looking forward to that. And again, college basketball, same thing from last week, man. Memphis played a good game this week, but they lost. I don't want to lie to you guys. The last game the University of Memphis played was against the. Let me make sure I do not want to lie. Let me make sure for you guys. The last game they played was against Eastern Carolina. No, that's an old game. They played against Temple. Played against Temple on the 24th on Thursday, and they end up losing their game 76-85. Didn't get a chance to watch that game. Saw a couple highlights, but I'm not worried. Like I said, I'm not too concerned about it. Like I said, right now Memphis stands at 12-7. decent so far. It's not the best and it's not the worst. 12-7. They got a month and a half left in the season, and they got the conference tournament, so they got a shot to still make it to the NCAA tournament. And so I think they'll be okay. So don't panic. I think it was a tough fall game. They didn't. The one thing that I do like about them is whenever I do watch them, they never quit. No matter how much they're down, no matter how much they're up, they always play. They play for the entire 40 minutes. Against Temple, they came up a little bit short, but that's okay. They got UCF in Memphis coming up on the 27th. So I'm looking forward to that game. I will watch that game. It'll be on CBS. I will watch that game to see how they bounce back from this loss. So any Memphis Tiger fan, man, don't get down when you lose a game. They're going to be fine. They're going to be fine. That's all I can say to you. They're going to be fine. So I think they're 3-2 over the last five games. Yeah, 3-2 over the last five games. So let's let these guys continue to build. And I promise you at the end of this road, man, their program is going to get back to where we all see and we all envision that program going. So shout out to the University of Memphis and Penny Hardaway. MTSU, I always got to speak about them. We're not right now. We are. we down bad right now. Just let me say that for my Blue Raiders, man. We down bad. A few weeks ago, though, I know on the 19th, we did beat UTEP, which was the number one team in the Conference USA. We beat them guys, but right now, we're not the best. But it's a building year for us as well. It's a building year for our program as well. And I know Nick is going to figure this thing out. He's going to get the right players in there. We're going to figure this thing out because right now in the conference, we're 2-5. And overall, we're 5-15. But I spoke to Nick a few times, spoke to all the assistant coaches, and we're going to get the right players at MTSU, and we're going to get this thing back to where Coach Davis had it at. So, and I'm not worried. I'm not panicking or anything like that. I know my guys are going to figure that thing out. Okay, I think that's everything for the week, ladies and gentlemen. And again, I want to thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak to you guys. And if you have any suggestions about anything that you might want me to talk about, please let me know. Just reach out to me at PrisonerOfWar10 on Twitter and or Instagram and reach out to me. And if you have any suggestions, let me know. And I promise you, if I like the idea, I promise you I will speak about it. Have any questions, let me know. You can reach out to me, ask me any questions on there. And again, man, appreciate the support. And come back again next week, man. We'll have some things. I got some things planned for you guys. I got some guests I'm going to bring in. Got a lot of things planned for you. So just be on the lookout for a lot of different things that I plan on doing. Again, you can fit in. Just be unusual when you do it. I'm out. Skirt! Oh, my God. Shoot myself in my own head. Kick my own ass. I forgot to give you guys the movie of the week. Oh my God, this is just not good. But this week's going to be a little bit different. It's not going to be a movie, it's going to be a TV show. And I will implement TV shows, documentaries, anything that I may watch, I will bring to you guys for you guys to go check out for yourself. And this week is the Carmichael Show. This week is the Carmichael Show, and it's starring Jerrod Carmichael, who is a brilliant comedian. I'm not sure if any of you guys have seen him, but Jerrod Carmichael is a smart comedian that makes you think. And this show does exactly that. Like, it tackles real life issues in a smart comedic way that makes you simply think and look inward and be honest. It's not a judgmental place. He comes from a place that just honestly just makes you think. He makes you stop. Be like, okay, what was that? And that's why I think you guys will enjoy it. So you can find it on Netflix. Go on Netflix, type in the Carmichael Show, and I promise you will enjoy this show. And if you do like this show, just reach back out to me. Let me know that you went to look at it. And I appreciate you guys for listening. And again, you can fit in. Just be unusual when you do it. I'm out. Some people
I'm just gigging. I ain't crazy. I'm just gigging. I ain't crazy. I'm just gigging.